out of the book of 2 Samuel chapter 22 and look in verse 28. 2 Samuel chapter 22 and verse 28, the Bible says, "And the afflicted people thou wilt save, but thine eyes are upon the haughty, that thou mayest bring them down." Heavenly Father, we love you tonight. And thank you for saving us, and thank you for keeping us. Lord, more than we'll ever know that you do the keeping, and we sure do appreciate that tonight, that it's not in us, but that it's in you tonight. We pray that you might help us while we preach now for a little while. I pray that you'd give us an unction from the Holy One. I pray you might touch us and anoint us afresh and just help tonight. Lord, I can't do this without you. Don't want to try to do it without you. And I pray that you'd just come by tonight. Help those that are lost to be saved. Help those that need help to find help tonight. And we'll give the glory for it. Thank you for the singing tonight. I pray that it honored and blessed you, and what a blessing it was. For these things in Jesus' name, amen and amen. You'll be seated tonight. This message as I preach tonight does a couple of things to me and for me. One, it scares me. One of the scariest messages that I ever preached deals with pride and haughtiness. And it always makes me, when I preach on pride and haughtiness and I get ready and I pray about what the Lord would have me to preach, and I begin to inspect my life because I want to inspect it for haughtiness. Ain't that a good Bible word tonight, haughty? Ain't that just a good Bible? We don't really use that in our vocabulary today, and unless you're around church people. It's like I listened to a lady one time on the TV, on the news. They were interviewing her about a bank robbery, and she was talking about the Lord. She wasn't talking about God, but she was talking about the Lord. I thought, now that lady's got some church experience at least, amen. She may not know him, I don't know, but she got a little church experience. But messages like what I'm about to preach tonight always makes me want to inspect my heart and my life for this type of subject tonight as I deal with haughtiness. Now, if you look in the chapter, in this chapter, David is praising and thanking the Lord for what he has done for him. You look in verse 4, and I believe that it says over there that he is worthy to be praised. And let me say tonight that the Lord is always worthy to be praised because of who he is and because of what he's done and what he's still doing. I told my wife on the way here, and I told these men down in the prayer room, I said, the Lord, I answered a prayer today simply because I asked him. It wasn't because I had a need. I'll be honest with you, church, I really just needed to see him move for me, and I asked the Lord to do something, and he done it. Don't you love it when God does that for you? I appreciate the Lord doing that tonight. I really do, because it just always adds to your faith when you get to see God move. In verse 7, I believe it is, that he talks about how that in his distress I called unto the Lord and cried to my God, and he did hear my voice out of his temple, and my cry I did enter into his ears. And I'm glad the Lord, when we cry out, he hears what we have to say. Boy, in this whole chapter, he talks about how that God delivers and how that God took care of him. And in the text verse, he talks about how that the afflicted are saved. What was it in Psalms chapter 34? Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth out of them all. Boy, I'm glad tonight, even though we might get in affliction, we might get in trouble and struggles and trials in our life, but I'm so glad tonight that God hears, God answers, and delivers his children tonight. Amen. A lot of times we think it's strange of all the fiery trials that we fall into and the temptation that comes. But I'm glad tonight. Boy, I'm feeling pretty good up here tonight. I'm glad that he comes by and he helps in the midst of our struggles and our trials. That's a good thing to know tonight. I'm glad he does that. But as he begins to talk in verse 28, as he talks about, and let me say this, I'd love to hang out, talk about the deliverance of God tonight. It'd be a good thing, but I really think this is what he'd have me to preach on. But David said this, the psalmist did, but thine eyes are upon the haughty, that thou mayest bring them low. Now that word haughty simply means proud or disdainful. It means having a high opinion of oneself with some contempt for others. So it's not only just being being self-involved or self-elevated, but it's to have contempt for others. You know, it's like malice. You know, it's not only are you angry with somebody, but you want to hurt them without cause. And so there's a two definition there. It is to have a high opinion of yourself, but contempt for others. And it simply means to be lofty or arrogant or excessive pride. Now tonight I think we see that haughtiness and pridefulness and arrogance and conceit and all those things go together. And so that is one thing that as Christians that we should never be, is haughty. Jeremiah chapter 48 tells us that pride and haughtiness is a heart issue. Jeremiah 48, he said, we have heard of the pride of Moab. He is exceeding proud, his loftiness and his arrogancy and his pride and the haughtiness of his heart. Well, it's a heart issue. See, there's one thing to have a little pride in the work that you do. There's one thing to have pride in your home and all those things, but that's not what I'm talking about tonight. I'm talking about when we're so lifted up that everybody else is beneath us. And Daniel chapter 5 talks about King Nebuchadnezzar. It says, but when his heart was lifted up and his mind hardened in pride. You see what pride does to you? It hardens things. He said his mind was hardened, his heart was lifted up, but his mind was hardened. And he says, and he was deposed from his kingly throne, and they took his glory from him. Habakkuk chapter 2 said, behold, his soul which is lifted up is not right, is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. And so tonight I just want to look at about four things that haughtiness does to us, but then the one thing that we need to do with it. Number one, first of all tonight, haughtiness or pride deceives us. Don't you hate being deceived? I hate being lied to. I hate being deceived. I hate somebody getting something over on me. But Obadiah chapter 1, and besides there's only one chapter in Obadiah, and verse 3 said, the pride of thy heart hath deceived thee. Thou that dwellest in the clefts of the rock, whose habitation is high, that saith in his heart, who shall bring me down to the ground? Haughtiness in a Christian's life is very deceptive. Have you ever been prideful? I'm going to be honest with you tonight. It's real easy for the position that I stand in to get a little haughty from time to time. You begin to see God do something and because that I've prayed and I've sought God and asked God to move and asked God to do some things and then other people are praying too in the church and he begins to move and he begins to work and I begins to bless and boy, you see him move and then all of a sudden, if not careful, the preacher will think that he's really doing something when all he was doing was obeying God. And God was making things move and go. And I'm going to be honest with you tonight, it can become very deceptive. Listen, can I tell you tonight, whether you preach, whether you sing, whether you hold a position in this church or whether you don't, but in your life, I'm going to tell you, if you think that you can make the Holy Spirit move, if you think you can make heaven come down, you have deceived yourself. I can't do it. You can't do it. Not in ourselves. The Bible said, for if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. Well, when we have ourselves exalted, and you say, preacher, who do you think? I have no idea tonight. I'm just preaching you what God's gave me. Maybe it's all for me. Amen. It'd been simpler just to preach it at the house, wouldn't it? Amen. Then y'all wouldn't have to hurt it, and I'd preach something else. Amen. But haughtiness, I mean, pridefulness, I mean, it slips in on us. And it deceives. Take your Bible tonight and go to the book of 2 Chronicles. You've got 1 2 Samuel, 1 2 Kings, and then 1 2 Chronicles. Go to 2 Chronicles chapter 32. And you find a man by the name of Hezekiah. Hezekiah was a good king. If you go back and you look, Hezekiah was a good king. And as we begin to read in verse 22, I'll let you get there because I want you to see it. And if you want to underline some of this in your Bible, that would be good. But it's deceptive. Haughtiness, pridefulness, arrogancy is deceptive tonight. Look in verse 22. The Lord saved Hezekiah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem from the hand of Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, and from the hand of all other, and guided them on every side. Now you see what God's done. God has delivered. 2 Chronicles 32, verse 22. God has delivered. And in verse 23, and many brought gifts unto the Lord to Jerusalem and presents to Hezekiah, king of Judah, so that he was magnified in the sight of all nations from thenceforth. And in those days Hezekiah was sick to the death and prayed unto the Lord, and he spake unto him and gave him a sign. Now you remember that when Isaiah went to him and said, you know, set your house in order because you're going to die. And Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and prayed. And while Isaiah was walking away out in the courtyard, God said, go back and tell him that I've spared him and give him 15 more years. And he asked him, he said, what sign will you give me? And Isaiah said, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to ask the Lord? And he said, it's no great thing if the sun goes down 10 degrees, but if you make it go back 10 degrees, then I'll know so. And so the Bible said right here that he gave him a sign, verse 24. If you go back and read the story about King Hezekiah, God moved the sun back 10 degrees on the sundial to prove that he would do what he said he was going to do. Ain't you glad God proves himself tonight? You know, I remember when I was growing up and I'm a young preacher in my late teens and early 20s and we'd talk about living by faith and we must live by faith. Well, I sure am glad God comes by and shows himself sometimes. Man, it helps you live by faith when you get to see him move. And this is how I said, do something for you because he loves you tonight. Amen. Some of you all do things for your children simply because they ask and simply because you love them and for no other reason. They have nothing else to offer but except themselves tonight. So look right here. He was sick. God healed him. Moved the sun back 10 degrees. But Hezekiah, look in verse 25. But Hezekiah rendered not again to the benefit done to him, for his heart was lifted up. Do you see that? God had moved. And God had answered his prayer. God had moved in the days of King Sennacherib and defeated him. God had set Hezekiah up on high and had many presents brought to him and brought to the Lord. And then God healed him. Nothing that Hezekiah had to do with any of that. Except he was just following God. As if you even go back and look in the days of King Sennacherib, I go over to the book of Isaiah, to the book of 2 Kings, and you'll find out that he took that letter and he laid it out upon the altar of God over there in the temple and said, Lord, look what they're going to do to us. And so God heard his prayer and answered. But notice Hezekiah rendered not again to the benefit done unto him, for his heart was lifted up. Very deceptive. Why would he not render again to what God has done for him? Church, tonight, every one of us, if I stopped right now and gave opening for testimony time, every one of us ought to praise the Lord tonight and have something to say about what God has done for us. We ought to render unto him again the benefits that he has gave to us. I'm telling you, it's an awful prideful person to think that you've went and done it on your own when you're breathing God's air, when you're living in God's sunshine, and you're just living on God's blessings, and to think that you've done it yourself tonight. It deceives you. For man thinketh himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. Romans chapter 12 said, be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Can I tell you, there's a lot of Christians that will not do what Romans 12 said. You know, condescend to men of low estate. That means we got to get off our high place and get down there with them low people. That's what it means. That's what condescend means. You know, if you get condescending to somebody, you're talking what? What are you doing to them? You're talking down to them. So when he said condescend to men of low estate, he's saying get off your high horse and get down there with the common folk, because that's what we are tonight. He said, be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord and depart from evil, in Proverbs chapter 3. It's deceptive tonight for somebody that thinks they've really done so. It's deceptive tonight for the lost person because they think they can get into heaven on their own. You remember I talked about that this morning, talking about the place and the person of Calvary and the punishment that was at Calvary. You remember I talked about that folk want their good to outweigh the bad, and they get deceived in their pride thinking that they're good. There's none good. What was it that he said in Romans 5 and 12? Wherefore, as by one man sinned into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for all have what? Sinned. You know. A lot of people are deceived, thinking they're going to get in on their goodness. A lot of people are deceived, thinking they're going to ride in on their church membership or their baptism. Don't work that way. Going to have to be saved tonight. Haughtiness will deceive you, but then haughtiness will have you doing things that you shouldn't do. You go back and you look at King Hezekiah. Normally, King Hezekiah would not have done this, but something happened. What happened? Well, he lifted up himself, didn't he? He didn't render again unto the Lord. You ever seen folk that was in church and that was on fire for the Lord and that was doing something for God? Something happened and now they're out. I bet you there was, that's a bad term law that he'd use. I'd say there was some pride somewhere. He said, well, they got their feelings hurt. You ever got your feelings hurt? You know what keeps you getting right with somebody when you get your feelings hurt? Haughtiness and pride. Because you don't want to deal with it. You just won't stay aggravated or upset or, man, hey, I've learned a long time. I've been married for almost 28 years. I have figured out that if me and my wife are happy, my house is a whole lot better. Amen. Won't nobody said amen right there? Ain't you figured out that when your house is happy, it's a whole lot better? Amen. Thank goodness. I mean, pride will haughtiness will have you doing things and saying things that you normally wouldn't do. Proverbs chapter 10. Let me go there. Proverbs chapter 10. And he talks about the pridefulness, I believe it is, of the world. Is it Proverbs 10 I need to be at? Maybe not. I don't believe it is. Oh, here it is, Proverbs 11. He said, when pride cometh, then cometh shame. You know, when in Proverbs 11 and 2, by the way, when pride cometh, then cometh shame. You know, if you read the book of Proverbs, if you've been here on Sunday morning, Brother Jeff doing a wonderful job, I teach in the book of Proverbs on Sunday morning. He deals a lot with pride, and he deals a lot with foolishness. I mean, he deals a lot with wisdom. Don't misunderstand me. But there's a lot of foolishness and a lot of pride talked about in the book of Proverbs. And when we're lifted up in pride, it's going to bring shame because, I'll be honest with you, because of the way we act and the things that we do when we let pride drive us. You know, it'll bring on anger. You know, haughtiness and pride will bring on anger. Proverbs 13 said, only by pride cometh contention. You know, I had this wrote down that anger brings on pride, but actually it's not. Pride brings on anger. Now, I know our temper gets away from us sometimes. Your temper don't get away from you, does it? You know, I remember we had a pastor one time, me and Kelly did, and one of his favorite sayings was, when you lose your temper, you know who's going to find it. Now, that's the devil. You lose it, he'll find it for you, and he'll use it against you. Only by pride cometh contention. Proverbs 28 said, he that is of a proud heart stirreth up strife. So when we're haughty on the inside, whether we've got in an argument or whether somebody has said something to us, maybe in our home, maybe our wife or your husband or maybe one of your children, I have said something, and boy, that bulls up on the inside, and you've said something that maybe you shouldn't say. You ever done that? And then, boy, I knew we were going to shout it out. But then that tongue that James talks about, and I'll get over there in a minute, he talks about some of the things that we say and so forth. But because of our pride, we know that we might not ought to say what we said, but we won't go fix it. Haughtiness. I think pride and haughtiness has ruined a lot of families and a lot of homes because folk won't say I'm sorry. Or they won't go apologize and mean it. I'm gonna tell you, if I'm gonna say I'm sorry, then I'm gonna mean it. Or I'm not gonna go say it. Take your Bible and look in James chapter 3 tonight. He talks about our tongue. James chapter 3. Verse 1, James, I'll let you get there. James 3 and verse 1. I'm talking about you do things when haughtiness is in your heart that you normally wouldn't do. In James 3 and 1, it says, my brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold, also ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet they are turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature, and is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast, of birds and of serpents and of the things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed to mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, for of deadly poison. I don't have much good to say about the tongue, does it? It's with the tongue that we murder and slander and kill. Therewith we bless God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so, or so to be. Doth the fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either vine, figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. It's this thing here that's behind our lips and the bars of our teeth that gets us in trouble. And it's one thing to let our mouth get away from us, but it's another when we say something and we get built up in haughtiness and knowing that we shouldn't have said what we said. I'm going to tell you, I've had to learn how to deal with my mouth. Because I'll have it in overdrive if I ain't careful. David put it this way in Psalms 39. I said, I will take heed to my ways that I sin not with my tongue. I will keep my mouth with a bridle while the wicked is before me. David said, I'm going to keep my mouth. It's in pride that we even say a lot of things sometimes. If we ain't careful. It's in haughtiness. Our hearts lifted up in us, and boy, we'll say things that we ought not to say. have you doing things. You know, it'll bring on anger. It'll have your mouth saying things that you don't know to say. And boy, that ruins homes. And man, it'll get in churches. Pride gets in churches. And folk will get against each other. They'll get against the preacher and the preacher against the congregation. Or they'll get against each other. And man, pride builds up. I told you the story of we preached a year or so ago, a little over a year ago. I preached a meeting with a couple of other men, and one of them was talking about one of the churches that he pastored at, and he said there was two ladies in that church when he came to pastor there that they hated each other so much that they, if they passed each other in the hallway, that they would turn and not look at each other. That's how much they hated one another. That's pride. That's haughtiness in the heart. You got to deal with that. Why would you say, well, I would rather just stay mad than stay mad at them then, but you're the one that's suffering tonight. Some people are just not going to deal with that pride. And you know what it's going to do? It's going to get them eventually. It's going to get them. I'll deal with that here in a minute. It'll bring them low. It'll put them on a downward path. I'll stay with it now. You know, when you won't deal with your pride and your haughtiness, it puts you on a downward path. We go back to the text verse. Go back to the book of 2 Samuel. What did he say in verse 28? He said, "And the afflicted people thou wilt save, but thine eyes are upon the haughty, that thou mayest bring them down." That's what it does. It brings you down. Now, let me ask you a question tonight. Is it better for yourself to bring, is it better for you to bring yourself down? Is it better for you to condescend to men of low estate? Is it better for you to see the need and fix it? Or is it better for God to knock you off your pedestal? Because I can tell you right now, I can crawl down a whole lot better than I can let God knock me down. It won't hurt if I crawl down. But boy, I'm telling you, if God's got to knock me down, I guarantee you it's going to hurt on the way down. And it's going to hurt on the landing too. It's a downward path. I mean, he said, Proverbs 16:80, what was it? Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. That's what happens. You know, when we mind God, I'm going to preach on this sometime if he'll let me. In the book of Jude, he said, "Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling." You know, God's able to keep us from falling. He's able to keep you from falling. But if there's haughtiness and pridefulness in your heart, you're going to fall. You're on a downward path. I mean, your home's headed in the wrong direction. Your life's headed in the wrong direction. When there's pride in the church, it's headed in the wrong direction. It's going to blow up eventually. Doing things that you shouldn't do. And on a downward path. That's why some people hate the preacher and don't like people when they tell them what they're doing is not right. You say, well, you're just judging me. No, if I'm telling you what this book says, then this book's already made the judgment. So that's where people got a problem. They think I'm judging them or that you're judging. No, not if the book said it. You know, what's my saying a lot? If the book's got something to say about it, I got something to say about it. If it's quiet, I'll be quiet about it. You ever seen somebody? I know I've had people get mad at me for what I've preached. I have no doubt about that. You get to, man, when I preached that three-part series on modesty, on how you ought to dress and how you ought to act and all those things, you know, modesty goes further than just how you dress, by the way. And that goes into your actions. And I'm not going to preach that message again or those messages again, but you know, it goes into even how you keep your hair and all those things, you know. What's good, ain't it? But I know some people didn't like that. It bothered them. You know, Christians ought to dress like Christians. They really should. I'm not going to rehash that tonight. But listen tonight. Some people don't like when they get backed up in a corner by the Word of God because they have no argument anymore. When the Bible says one thing and they say something else and want to do something else and maybe you want to do something else, then you just get mad and in your pride you get lifted up and here's what you say, I'm going to do it my way. I don't care what anybody else says. That's holiness. That's holiness. And you know what it's going to do? It puts you on a downward path. Jonah chapter 1, but Jonah rose up to flee into Tarshish from the presence of the Lord and what? And went down to Joppa. And he found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fire thereof. Boy, didn't he pay? And the Bible said, and went down into it. Jonah was on a downward path. Why? He wouldn't obey God. He was haughty. He was prideful. And so he was on a downward path. You know what got David? Pride. Now, I know, but I understand he saw and all those things and the covetousness and all that. I understand that. But what kept him from getting right? Pride. Haughtiness. What keeps men and women, boys and girls, from coming getting saved? Pride. Just won't do it. You know, I believe at the end of that thing, because there will come an end to haughtiness and pride, you'll be able to look back and see where it actually was on a downward path. And so that brings us to number four, to destruction. You know, pride goeth before destruction, the haughty spirit before a fall. It's going to come. It ruins a lot. Hey, listen. Listen, you look back at Nebuchadnezzar. It got Nebuchadnezzar. Got King Belshazzar, didn't you? Didn't Daniel come in there with that handwriting on the wall and he told him the whole story about his grandfather, and he said, you knew all this. That's what he told Belshazzar. He said, you knew all this, but still you chose to do what you've done. It was in pride. It was in pride, and so it brought destruction. It got King Nebuchadnezzar. They dethroned him and put him out there in the field. And I mean, he was eating like oxen, you know, the grass, and had fingers like eagle's claws and all those things. God deposed him from his godly kingdom over there, from his earthly kingdom, you see, because of his pride. And it ruins homes and lives, ruins preachers, and ruins Sunday school teachers. Church members. Remember, it's a heart problem. It's a heart problem. So what do? Then we need to debase ourselves. That word debase means to reduce an estimated rank or lower our estimation. You know, be of the same mind one toward another, mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estates. Be not wise in your own conceit. When I stand up to preach, I know I ain't anything. You know, I've laid in the bed before and asked God, why'd you call me to preach? Now, you leave that door open too long, and boy, that's going to cause some problems. I'm telling you that right now. You start asking God that stuff, what he's seen in you and all that. You know, the Apostle Paul said that God just counted him faithful, put him in the ministry. Don't be looking too much at why God called you to do something, because he didn't call you because of what you are. He called you because of what he can make out of you. You see. You go over to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and he talks about not many wise, not many noble, not many great, not many of those are called, you know. You know, God don't call too many kings and presidents and doctors and lawyers to preach. I didn't say he didn't call them. I just say he don't call too many of them. He takes men and women that ain't much and makes something out of them. And then we get to thinking that we're something. 1 Peter chapter 5, he said, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. He talks about being clothed with humility. If you're clothed with something, then you're covered with it. Instead of haughtiness, it's humility. It's humbleness. But he giveth more grace, he said in James 4, wherefore he said, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Humbleness is the lack of pride. See, when we have humility, then we don't have much pride to stand in our way. We realize what we really are. We realize what God... Listen, now, if there's anything good about me, it's because of God tonight. It's because of the Lord Jesus Christ and His and what He done for me. What I do does not make me good. It's all about Him tonight. And I want us to understand that tonight. Haughtiness. He said, but thine eyes are upon the haughty. God sees that thou mayest bring them down. Let's bow our heads tonight if we would.